Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Ilan Ishmat Pinchas Ben Shaya. Tonight we have the privilege of studying together Parshas Vayera, one of the most jam-packed Parshas with storylines, events, and many different things to cover in this week's Parsha. Obviously, we'll go through a very quick overview of the Parsha, and then we will try to get to as much as we can get to with our allotted time. So obviously, in Parsha's Vayera, some of the major events that you're going to see in the laning this upcoming Shabbos is, of course, the beginning, where the three Malachim come to Avram Avinu. And then after that, we're notified of the famous statement from the Malach to Sarah that she's ultimately going to have a child. Then we have the story of Sodom. Avram Avinu's attempt to save Sodom ultimately did not work. The destruction of Sodom, the saving of Lot, which we need to discuss if time allows. Of course, the post-Sodom story where Lot and his two daughters survive and rebuild the entire world, at least what they think is the entire world. Then we have Avimelech one more time with Avram and an Avimelech story. Yitzhak is born, Yishmael is kicked out, and then the end of the parasha is probably the highlight, is one of the most difficult stories in Tanakh, is the Akedah. So hopefully we'll get to all of these major events in this week's parasha. We'll see how much time is on our side. But in order to properly understand Parshas Vayera, I think we must go back to Parshas Lech Lecha. If we really want to understand Parshas Vayera, at least the opening parts of Parshas Vayera, we need to go back to the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Because the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, there's a conversation that takes place that is very, very essential for us to properly understand when we come to Parshas Vayera. If you go back with me to the end of Parshas Lech Lecha and Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Tezvav, the Torah tells us of a story. What happens at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha? So the Torah tells us, Vayemir Elikim El Avram, Hashem comes to Avram and tells him, Sarai Ishtecha, Sarai, your wife, Lo Tikra Es Shemo Sarah. So Hashem changes Sarah's name, but Hashem doesn't exactly tell it to Sarah. Hashem tells Avram Avinu, I'm changing Sarah's name. So Hashem comes to Avram Avinu and tells Avram Avinu, I am changing Sarah's name. Lo Yisikra Es Shema Sarah. Her name is no longer Sarai. Ki Sarah Shema. I'm changing her name. What is the significance of the name change? So the Kli Yakar points out something very interesting. I can't say I understand it. But the Kli Yakar points out that the letter Yud is a masculine letter, while the letter Hey is more feminine. And the Kli Yakar explains that Sarai with the Yud was masculine. Masculinity is not a way to have children. Masculinity is not a way to be able to conceive a baby. So when Hashem changed her name to Sarah with the Hey, Hey is feminine. The femininity of the letter enabled Sarah to be able to get pregnant. So explains the Kli Yakar. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Gimel has a whole discussion that the Gemara says that if a person calls Avraham Avinu Avram, he's in a violation of a mitzvah lo yisaseh, as well as a mitzvah saseh. And there's a whole discussion in the Marsha over there in Brachas and some of the other commentaries. Why is this not found in the Mani HaMitzvahs? Why is this not found in other Rishonim? The Magen Avraham does quote a halacha in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. But the Gemara over there asks the Kasha, why are you not in a violation if you call Sarah Sarai? Because the Gemara says, because only Hashem told Avraham her name is Sarah. It didn't become as widespread necessarily as Avraham Avinu's name. So Avraham Avinu, and they have this name change, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that we learn from here a very important lesson in life. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah an important lesson for life, which people still do out of Yemezeh. The Gemara tells us that if you want to change a person's luck, you change their name. Shinoi Shmoi, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there are four things that can help a person change. And the Gemara says that one of the things is changing a person's name. If you change a person's name, that can give them better luck. That's why many people have a practice, and when there's a chayla, they change their name, they add a name, they change their name. So Sarah's name was changed, and look what happened. She was ultimately blessed with a child. So Hashem comes to Avram and tells Avram, listen, Sarah's name should be changed. I'm going to bless her. I'm going to give her a son. Hashem told Avram explicitly, not a malach, Hashem. Hashem in his own came to Avram Avinu and told Avram Avinu, Sarah will have a baby. Now, Sarah was not present at this conversation. This was a Avram Avinu only conversation. Then the pasuk says, I'm going to bless her, and Sarah will marry to have a son, and she'll be blessed, and she will be from nations. So the Kliyakar is bothered. What do you mean nations? Sarah only had one baby that only produced one nation. So I thought the pshat was that the nations are referring to Esav and Yaakov, which ultimately came out from Sarah. The Kliyakar rejects the pshat, and the Kliyakar suggests the pshat, and the pasuk is that we know, Chazal tell us, that when Sarah was blessed with a baby, many other women who have not yet had the ability to conceive were conceived the same time Sarah did. And that's what the pasuk is referring to over here. The pasuk is referring to all those women that did not merit to have children till now, finally merited to have children the time when Sarah merited to have a child. So again, keep reading the psukim. Hashem comes to Avram, tells Avram, you're going to have a baby, but more than that, Vayipol Avram al pono vayitzchak. What is Avram's original first response to the news? Vayitzchak, he laughs. So again, the Mefarshim all learn, and the Midrashim all learn, that this was not a negative laugh. We'll see later on in this week's parasha, Sarah perhaps had a negative laugh. This was not a negative laugh. This is a laugh of simcha. This was a joyous laugh. He said in his heart, he was saying like, I can't believe it. I'm 100 and she's 90. We're going to have a baby. Not doubting Hashem's ability, but rather saying, it's such an amazing thing. I'm so old and she's so old and we're still going to have a baby. And Avram says to Hashem, what about Yishmael? Okay, so he says Yishmael should also be okay. Hashem brings Avram Avinu back and says, listen, Avram, focus. It's not about Yishmael, it's about Yitzchak, it's about Sarah. And I want you to name the baby Yitzchak. Sarah's going to give you a baby. There's no need to fight about what to name the baby. I want you to name the baby Yitzchak. And he's going to be the one that's going to be the future of the Jewish people. His name is Yitzchak. Then what happens, and now just on a side note, it's very interesting that Yitzchak is named based on the laughter. It's more interesting is that Yitzchak wasn't exactly the laughter type of person. We know all the others stood for different character traits. The character trait of Yitzchak was known as Gevura, which is really strength and toughness. So why is Yitzchak called laughter and lightheaded? Yitzchak was actually the more of the tough and the gevura of the other. So I think the pshat is an important message in life. We often think, what exactly is laughter and what is strength? So, or not laughter, but joy. What's joy versus strength? So I think the answer is, a person experiences true joy when he's miskaber. When a person overcomes and does the right thing, that is one of the greatest feelings of joy. When a person, is in a diet or a person's exercising and he overcomes the hurdles and he pushes himself and he works out when he doesn't want to and when he doesn't eat what he's not supposed to and he overcomes and he's miskaber, he feels simcha, he feels joy, he feels real joy. But when a person just gives into his desires and eats whatever he wants and does whatever he wants, he doesn't really feel good about himself. It's not joy. You feel pleasure, but it's not genuine joy. Genuine joy is experience when a person overcomes and he fights his temptations for whatever it may be. So maybe that's perhaps why the Torah, why Hashem gave the name Yitzchak to Yitzchak, even though Yitzchak embodies gevura, strength and control and not joy, because joy comes when a person experiences with strength, and gevura comes from, and that's true joy that a person experiences. But I want something else from these psukim. What happens after this? The pasuk continues. Now, again, you have to remember, Avram Avinu just got a commandment before this to give everyone a bris milah. He just turned into a moil. Hashem tells Avram Avinu, I want you to get a bris milah. So now Avram Avinu has to give everyone a bris milah. He was just given a bombshell news. Right? Bombshell news Avram Avinu just heard. The news was, he's going to have a baby. It's unbelievable news. So what is the thing he does? Vayikach Avram et Yishmael b'nai. He takes Yishmael. So Mefarshim point out that Yishmael was 13 at this point. Yishmael needed to be convinced to get a bris milah. Vayikach means kichu b'devarim. He convinced him. He spoke to him nicely, trying to convince him why it's a good idea to get a bris milah. He goes and gives a bris milah to Yishmael. He goes and gives a bris milah to his entire family. And that's how the parasha ends. Now, why am I making such a big deal about the end of Parashas Lech Lecha? Because the backdrop of Parashas Lech Lecha is very essential to understand the beginning of Parashas Vayir. How does Parashas Lech Lecha end? Last week we ended with Avram Avinu being told, A, he's going to have a baby. B, being told, I want you to give circumcisions to you, your child Yishmael, and to all of your household, which were a lot of people. We mentioned Avram Avinu at this point was very wealthy. He had a whole staff of people working for him. So he had to give bris milah to everyone. This was a serious job for Avram Avinu. And then that's the end of last week's parasha. Now there are some interesting questions that the Mefarshim asked about in last week's parasha. For example, the bris milah of Avram Avinu took place on Yom Kippur. So we learned Rabbi Loza the Milah for a bunch of years, we know that a mila shalei bezman is not doicha Shabbos v'yomtiv. If a person has a baby that's born and they don't have the bris mila on the eighth day because of medical reasons or other reasons, so the halacha is that the mila is called a mila shalei bezman. The halacha is a mila shalei bezman is not doicha Shabbos v'yomtiv. So some achrayim have a kasha that Avraham Avinu's bris was like a mila shalei bezman. He was 100 years old when he had his bris mila, 99, whatever. So why is that considered to be doicha Yom Kippur? So the pasha, the answer is no, that's bezmanai. The moment Hashem told him to get the bris mila, then the mila becomes the mila bezmanai. So when Avraham Avinu had his bris on Yom Kippur, that was the zman for him. That was the equivalent of a baby on the eighth day. If you look at the psukim says that when did Avraham Avinu have his bris mila? Be'etzem ayayim hazeh. On that day. So there's a couple places in the Chumash where the Torah uses that terminology, be'etzem. One of them is by bris mila, one of them is by Yom Kippur, and one of them is when Moshe Rabbeinu died. The Torah writes be'etzem. So the Mefarshim point out that the Torah is teaching us an important lesson. All of these events, they're all times where a person has to take stock of where he's going. These are all major, major events in your life. Right, Yom Kippur obviously is a major event. That's when you take stock of your life, what you've been up to, and how have you been living as a Jew. So Yom Kippur is one of those days of reflection. That's one day of Be'etzem. Then you have the day Moshe Rabbeinu died. Obviously, was a major day of Jewish reflection for the Jewish people. They had to revisit their entire life. And the Bris Mila, every time a Bris Mila takes place, it is an amazing time for people to reflect. A new baby's born into Klal Yisrael. The baby's joining a special covenant with Klal Yisrael. Bris Mila is a major event. We go to Bris Mila, you know, we go, we have a bagel, and we leave. But it's really a major event. It's a time where we really have to take stock and think about what's taking place, what's going on over here. We're having another baby being joining in to a very special group, a bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all the end of last week's parsha. Then we open up with this week's parsha. The Torah opens up with a very, very strange pasuk. How does the pasuk open up? We all know it. Vayera elav Hashem. Hashem appears to him. Who's the him? Who's the him? So we all know it's Avraham Avinu. But Hashem never doesn't write that in the Chumash. It should have said, Vayera elav Hashem la Avram. Why does the Torah leave out who we're talking to? Secondly, the pasuk doesn't tell us what the purpose of the visit was. Vayera elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Who's the him? So you're supposed to know it's Avraham Avinu. Where? Be'eloni Mamre, the plains of Mamre, which is not a chiddush, that's where Avraham Avinu was living. Because he's sitting in the entrance of his tent because of the heat of the day. What is going on in this pasuk? So we know, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Saita, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham Avinu because he was a chayla. Why was Avraham Avinu chayla? Because he's coming off to his bris mila. We just mentioned the end of last week's parsha. Avraham Avinu had a bris mila, so he's recuperating from his bris mila. You have to remember, Avraham Avinu is no youngster at this time. He is not an 8-day-old baby. He's 99 years old when he had his bris mila. So therefore, did I get that right? 99, right? 99 years old when he had his bris mila. He's 100 when Yitzchak's born. So he's 99 when he has his bris mila. He's no youngster. So it's a serious process. It's a serious procedure. So he's recuperating. Hashem comes to visit him. We mentioned in the Halacha Shir, for those that joined us, that the Torah writes in Yeridea that this Gemara is the source of why we go Mivaka Chaylim. Since Hashem went to be Mivaka the Chaylim, we have to go be Mivaka the Chaylim because we're supposed to live like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Hashem goes to visit the sick, we also have a mitzvah to go visit the sick. But we still yet don't know how we know that the person in the pasuk is Avraham Avinu. So the Chizkuni writes, it's by default. Because the pasuk says, Vayera lav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, and Hashem doesn't do anything. Usually when Hashem appears to somebody, he tells him something, he relates a message, gives a commandment, gives something. Here Hashem just appears, and that's the end of the conversation. So the Chizkuni says, it must be that Hashem came just to visit him, to see how he's doing, to be mevaker choyla. The briskerav is medayik from the lashon of the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Vayera lav Hashem be'eloni mamre. If Hashem wants to give you a nevuah, it's like Zoom. Hashem doesn't have to come to your house to tell it to you. He could do it through Zoom. When Hashem used to give a nevuah to one of the Nevi'im, he didn't have to come to their house to give it to them. He would say the nevuah and it would travel, like a Zoom, and they hear the nevuah. So why does Hashem have to come visit him live? Vayera elav Hashem. Hashem comes to appear to him. Why does Hashem have to appear to him in Melani Mamre? Why does Hashem have to come at all? Let Hashem stay in Shemayim, whatever this means, and he'll be able to shoot the nevuah through a Zoom. So says the Biskarov, you see from over here, this wasn't a nevuah. This was an actual meeting. This was an actual getting together. Hashem actually came, Kaviyachol, to come see Avraham Avinu. Why? To be Mevakeh Chayla, he came because he wanted to see how he's doing. It says in the Sefer HaMidas writes that if someone's Mevakeh Chaylim to other people, it's a skula that they're not going to die amidst pain and suffering. Right? Everyone knows that we hear stories of people that die very calmly. They die, they pass away in their bed, they pass away without pain, and then people nebuch suffer until they die. So the Sefer Hamidus writes that if a person does biga chayim throughout his life, it's a skula that he will not die a painful death. What's the midah keneged midah? Because when you go and be mevaka chayla, so you're taking away his pain and suffering. You're trying to help his pain and suffering. Therefore, if a person is mevaka chayla, it's a skula. It's a skula not to have yisurin and tsar at the end of one's life. I saw this kasha from Rav Moshe Feinstein and from both Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Steinman. They point out that we learned the sugya together in the sugya of Bika Chaylam. And we learned that based on the Ramban in Teres Adam, that's quoted by the Beis Yosef, in order to properly be Mekayim Bika Chaylam, you can't just show up. You actually have to do something. You got to go there, you got to daven for him, and you got to check on his bed and make sure everything is taken care of. We don't find that Hashem did any of that. So how was Hashem Mekayim the mitzvah of Bika Chaylam? So Rav Moshe asked his kasha. Rav Moshe in his Sefer on Chumash, Darish Moshe asked his kasha. Rav Steinman asked his kasha in Ayol HaShachar. And the truth is, the Rosh paskins based on this pasuk. The Rosh says, "You see, from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that Bika Chaylam just means showing up. All you have to do is show up. Hashem doesn't do anything. Hashem just shows up, and showing up is enough Bika Chaylam." But we learn that like that. So Rav Moshe wants to say, "Shtikol Torah." Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to explain that what Avraham Avinu, what Hashem was showing us is don't get so bogged down with the reasons for mitzvahs. We always get very bogged down with the reasons. We always try to figure out what's the reason for a mitzvah, and then we always try to apply the reasons to the mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Hashem was teaching us, just do the mitzvah. Don't give me all these shtickle tirades of why, what, when. Just do. Hashem taught us, just go be there by the chayla. Obviously, if you can be by the chayla and you can check on him, you should. If you can be by the chayla and you can have him, you should. But Hashem was teaching us, don't always ask so many questions and try to get into the tamei mitzvahs. Sometimes just go and actually do the mitzvah itself. Many Mefarshim point out that Hashem's relationship with Avraham Avinu changed from last week's parasha to this week's parasha. What changed with Avraham Avinu's life from last week's parasha to this week's parasha? In last week's parasha, he was an oral. He didn't have a bris mila yet. In this week's parasha, he had a bris mila. He was already considered a ben bris. And that's why Hashem appeared to him much more intimate. They had a much more close relationship. Their relationship drastically changed. Now they were much closer with each other because now Avraham Avinu was no longer an oral. Avraham Avinu was now a baal bris. There's a famous, I think it's a Gemara or it's a Medrash, that Avraham Avinu stands by the gates of Gehenim and he pulls everyone out that has a bris mila. Avraham Avinu stands by, everyone says that Rav Nachman from Breslov pulls you out of Gehenim. Okay? The Medrash says Avraham Avinu pulls you out of Gehenim. It says Avraham Avinu stands by the gates of Gehenim and he pulls everyone out that has a bris mila. He said, but the only person Avraham Avinu doesn't pull out is a guy who lives with a guy. It says, when you live with a guy, it's like your oral comes back. Whatever that means exactly. And therefore says the Medrash, I think it's maybe even a Gemara, I forgot already, that Avraham Avinu stands by the doors of Gehenim, pulling out everyone who has a bris mila. So being gemalt is not just another mitzvah that carries kares, but it changes your whole status. It makes you a gemalta person. It makes you a different type of a person. So what happens in the pasuk? So Hashem comes to see how he's doing, because it was the third day of his bris mila and he was very shvach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Shaul B'Shloimei, Hashem wanted to see how he's doing. So the Mefarshim make a gevaldik gediyak from the Gemara in Saita, which Rashi quotes. Rashi says, Levakar es HaChoyle. Hashem came to visit the sick. So why didn't he say Levakar es Avram? So the Mefarshim say, because if it was to say Levakar es Avram, you'd think you only have to do Bika Choylem if it's Avram Avinu. Hashem happened to came to be Mavaka Choyla of Avraham Avinu. But we have to be Mavaka Choyla of every person. Not only those people that are Avraham Avinu status, only Choshev of big Hatshah people. You have to be Mavaka Choyla of everyone. And we learned in the Halachashe, Mitzvah Gedoylihi, it's a Mitzvah Rabbah, the Lashon of the Torah, that it's a very big Mitzvah, a very special Mitzvah to be able to be Mavaka the Choyla. So the Pasuk says that where was Avraham Avinu sitting? Hashem comes to visit him. It says Hashem comes to visit him, and he's sitting Be'eloini Mamre. He's sitting in the plains of Mamre. So Rashi says, why does Mamre get mentioned? Why does Mamre get a shout out? So Rashi says, because Mamre was involved in this whole Mila process. Because Mamre gave Avraham Avinu the idea, he gave him an Eitzah on the Mila. So all the Rishonim and even the Midrashim are very troubled by this. Avraham Avinu needed advice from Mamre. Avraham Avinu jumped into a burning fire. Avraham Avinu did Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was a very loyal soldier to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem told him, cut off his arla, he'd cut off his arla. Hashem told him, cut off his finger, he'd cut off his finger. What do you mean? Avraham Avinu needed to ask his friend Mamre what to do about the Bris Mila? So there's many terutzim. The three classical answers that I like is, Mefarshim point out that Avraham Avinu wasn't sure, how am I going to get my entire staff, my entire family, to get circumcised? It's a pretty crazy procedure to convince a bunch of men that I want them to cut a very sensitive part of their body off. Right, to have a medical procedure in that part of the body with when there is no medication, when there is no things that can help numb the pain. It's very scary. So they came to Mamre, he asked Mamre, he said, Mamre, give me an etza. How am I going to get the people to be on board? So Mamre gave him, I think, probably one of the most important lessons of advice for any leadership role, whether it be as a mechanic, an educator, or even as a parent, or a grandparent, or halvai, many of you should, or are great-grandparents. If you want people to follow you, know what you do, don't give them speeches. Don't be like some of the political members that we have, they give you drushes and do the opposite. Lead by example. Mamre told Avraham Avinu, you want the people to get a bris milah, you go get a bris milah. If you do it, they'll follow you. People lead by example. People see that their leaders are doing, they will follow. Don't do what I say. Do what I do. Follow me. I do it, you do it. Problem is, we live in a world that all the politicians do the opposite. They make all these extreme rules for COVID and they break all of them. But they yell at the people that they have to keep it, so no one takes them seriously. Avraham Avinu was told by Mamre, the best etzah in the world. What's the best etzah? Lead by example. If you want people to follow you, do what you do, they will follow you. It's a great message for educators, parents. It's mamish true. Your kids will follow. Don't give them drushes about learning. Learn yourself. They'll learn. If you show your children you're learning, they will learn. Don't give them drushes about going to daven to shul. Just go to shul. They will learn from you. They will pick up much more from your action than they will from any speech that you attempt to give to them. That's one classical answer. The other classical answer, I forgot already, either Kliyaka or Chaim HaKadosh, they say that Avraham Avinu was bothered, not should he do a bris milah. Avraham Avinu, of course, was going to do a bris milah. What troubled Avraham Avinu was he thought this would be bad for business. We spoke about in Parashas Noach, what made Avraham Avinu different than Noach? Why was Avraham Avinu such a successful Makariv and Noach was not so successful? So one of the answers is that Avraham Avinu got the people. He was with the people. He was what we'd call today a cool rabbi. The people were able to connect to Avraham Avinu. You know, he had a smartphone. He had a he had a Twitter account. He was with the people. He knew how to reach the people of his generation. Noach was a little bit more removed from his generation. The Medrash says that Noach used to get up and give speeches. He used to tell the people. He opened up the speech with, "You guys are so foolish. You guys are so foolish. You bow down to these little avodah zarahs. What are you guys doing? You're so foolish. You're such a bunch of backwards people." People don't like to hear that. That's not a good way to start a drush. Avraham Avinu was much more loving. Come everyone, let's sit together, let's talk. I had a whole different style. So Avraham Avinu was worried that if he's going to give himself a bris milah, he's now going to be considered crazy. People are going to look at Avraham Avinu like a nut job. Avraham Avinu is going to lose his major selling point. His selling point was his normalcy, the fact that he's just a normal guy, and people can relate to him. Now they're going to say, Avraham Avinu is a crazy. He's a fanatical. I can't connect to him. He's higher than me. I would never cut my body. That's it. So Avraham Avinu thought this would just be bad for his entire process. He's trying to bring the world closer to Judaism, and this would just chase people away. So Mamre told him, don't worry. You'll do it. You'll be successful. Then the Maral's pshat. Maral's pshat was that Avraham Avinu said to himself, of course I'm going to do bris milah, I'm not doubting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's going to look bad if I do this immediately. Hashem came to me and said it, I'm going to do it the second day. You know what it's going to look, you know what the world is going to say? Avraham Avinu is just jumping, he's not even thinking. If Avraham Avinu would have thought for a second, what's he about to do? He would have never done it. So that was the eight. So he went to speak to Mamre, just so he could tell people, listen, I didn't rush through this. I spoke to people, I discussed it with people, and they all said it's a good idea. That's why I did it. So Mamre was like his people to talk to be able to say that I thought it, I spoke it over with people. Right? Very often in life we have major decisions that we have to make, so we like to speak it over with people. Speak it over with rabbeim, teachers, educators, whatever you speak to. And then you make a decision. So Avraham Avinu used Mamre as his person to talk to. If you look in the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu had three friends, Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. The other two friends told Avraham Avinu, don't do the bris milah. They told him, you're crazy. What are you thinking? You got to do bris milah? And Mamre was the only friend who said, yeah, go for it. The Medrash says Mamre was a real friend. If you want to know in life who a real friend is, any friend who takes you away from Yiddishkeit is not a friend. Any friend who tries to bring you away from Hashem and mitzvahs is not a genuine friend. He might be a lot of fun. He might be geschmack to chill with, don't get me wrong, but he's not a real friend. A real friend is someone who wants to bring you closer to Hashem. And when you come to him and you ask him, should I go to another shir? Should I take another chavrusa? And he tells you no, he's not a real friend. A real friend should say, yeah, I think you could. I think you can handle it. You can learn more. You can be more involved. You can be more active. You can do it. That's what Mamre was. The other two said, nah, don't do it. It's crazy. You learn enough as it is. Don't go to another shir. You don't have time for it. This, that, and the other. Now, sometimes you don't have time for it. But if you have the time and you have the availability, but you just need someone to tell you not to do something. So Avraham Avinu was looking to see who your real friends are in life. And it's an important message that we associate with a lot of people. But we have to ask ourselves, who's my real friends? My real friends are people that are only going to give me advice. That's going to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the opposite. So Rashi says that it says that he was sitting down. So Rashi says that when Hashem came to him, he wanted to stand up. And Hashem said to him, no, you sit. And this will be like a remez to what's going to happen with Bezdin. Pasuk says, by Bezdin, the Dayanim sit and Hashem stands. So Hashem said, I want to stand and I want you to sit. So they have a kukasha. The Gemara says in Ma'id Katan that a chayla is not allowed to stand up in front of a zakin. Let's say a Talmid Chacham comes to visit the chayla. So the chayla, his first initial thought is a gadol walks into the room, you jump out of your bed. So the Gemara says, no, he's not allowed to the chayla. Chayla has to stay in bed. So they have a kasha. So what was Avraham Avinu trying to jump up when Hashem came? The Gemara says that when a tzaddik comes, a chayla is not allowed to get out of bed. So why was Avraham Avinu trying to stand up when Hashem came to visit him? Because Hashem is Hashem. But it says in the Gemara that a person who's a chayla is not supposed to stand up for anyone who comes to visit him. So they give a very cute teretz. They say that the man, the Omer in that Gemara in Moed Katan was Reb Levi. Reb Levi holds in a medrash that Avraham Avinu, after he was told to do the Bris Milah, so he goes and he realizes he's already gemalt. Whatever this means, I don't understand exactly what this medrash means. But Avraham Avinu went to go do the Milah. He realized, I'm showing gemalt. I already have a Bris Milah. So therefore, he wasn't really a chayla, because he wasn't really sick, because he had his Bris Milah. And therefore, he had already a Milah. He didn't have the new Bris Milah. So therefore, it's Reb Levi Lushitase. Reb Levi, who says that a Chayla is not allowed to stand up for a visitor, but he wasn't a Chayla, because he already was Gemalt before, and therefore he wasn't a Chayla. Okay, take it or leave it. That's what they say. So then Rashi tells us that, what does it mean, Kechayim Ayayim? Adina! What happened? Adina! I don't know where my Zoom went. What happened? We just left? Very strange.
It's connecting.
Oh, we're back. Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know where we went. I apologize. So the pasuk says, Kechayim Ayoyim, that it was very hot outside. So Rashi says that what's the relevance of it being hot? So Rashi says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed Avraham Avinu to rest. And Avraham Avinu would not rest on his own. This is what we call today forced vacation. Right, we live in a... Today, people work so much, they don't want to take vacations. So Hashem had to force Avraham Avinu to take a vacation. So how did Hashem force Avraham Avinu to take a vacation? He made it so hot outside. Because it was so hot, no one's going to be walking the streets. And because no one's walking the streets, Avraham Avinu got a break. So that's why the pasuk tells us it was so hot. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Hashem took out the sun from its case, and it was mamish boiling, boiling hot. And Rashi says everyone wouldn't be walking the streets, and since no one's walking the streets, Avraham Avinu would be able to get a vacation. But it backfired, because Avraham Avinu was so upset over the fact that he couldn't do the mitzvah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send him some halacha. That's what Rashi says the pshat over here is. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous kasha, beautiful kasha. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, I don't understand. What was Avraham Avinu so upset about? Avraham Avinu is a machnas orchim. Machnas Orchim means that if someone comes to your door, he knocks on your door, so you open the door, you bring him in, you give him some food, you set him up. But if there's no one coming, so you're an oinus. There's no mitzvah. Why was Avraham Avinu so upset? Avraham Avinu was upset that he can't do a mitzvah. There was no mitzvah. It's like me saying I'm upset I can't shake lulav today. It's not circus. There's no mitzvah to shake lulav. So ask him, Moshe Feinstein, what was Avraham Avinu so upset about? So Moshe Feinstein explains that we don't look at life like Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu looked at chesed as not I have to and I don't have to, and mitzvahs and checks and rewards. He looked at chesed as his oxygen. That's all he wanted to do was chesed. So the fact that there's no visitors is not an excuse. That's a heter. He didn't want a heter. Avraham Avinu wanted to help people. And if there's no people to help, that bothered him. And Moshe compares it to someone that has a desire for a physical thing. Let's take an example. You're in the mood for a certain dish. And they're like, well, it's not on the menu. So what? It still bothers me. I still want that dish. It's not on the menu. The answer is that it's not about what's on the menu. It's about the fact that I want this certain dish and I want to make sure. And even if I can't get it, I'm still going to desire it. Says Ramesha, that's how Avraham Avinu looked at chesed. He wanted it so badly that even if there was nothing available at the moment, it bothered him. And for that reason, Hashem sent him three malachim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes in his Sefer a very cute vart. He says that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the malachim appeared to Avraham Avinu on Sukkos. So he says, that's pshat in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk that Avraham Avinu is sitting Pesach oil. For Reb Chaim Kanievsky, why is Avraham Avinu not in the Sukkah? You would assume Avraham Avinu would be sitting in the Sukkah. It's Sukkos. Says the Pasuk, Kichayim Ayayim. Since it was so hot, so the halacha is, Mitztayer Potem in a Sukkah. So Avraham Avinu was Potem from sitting in the Sukkah. So that's why he wasn't in the Sukkah. Instead, he was sitting Pesach oil because it was cooler by the Pesach oil than it was in the Sukkah. And that's why Avraham Avinu was sitting Pesach oil instead of sitting in the Sukkah itself. Okay, that's Abraham Kinevsky's Pshat in the Pasuk. I mentioned once, maybe last time we learned this, I mentioned the Pshat from, I heard B'Shem Rabbi Peretz Steinberg. He says a cute word on this Rashi. Rashi says that it was very hot outside, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so hot that no one would be walking the streets. And now that no one was walking the streets, Avraham Avinu was very disturbed. So he asked a very cute kasha. He said, I don't understand. Why did Hashem have to send Malachim? Why couldn't Hashem just change the weather? Take the sun and put it back into its case, drop the temperature 40 degrees, and they'll be hustling and bustling on the streets. So he answered, he said, the way people work is that they judge their whole day by the beginning of the day. Right? If the day starts off hot, they rearrange the whole schedule, they're not going out. They're not traveling. Right? People, they look in the forecast, it says rain, forget it. If it's supposed to rain today, I'm not. The weather changes, no, I already made my plans. And therefore, people already made their schedule not to travel down Avraham Avinu's tent. And therefore, even if Hashem would make the weather cooler, there still wouldn't be people on the streets. And that's why Hashem had to send the malachim. Okay, it's an interesting pshat. In any case, so what does the pasuk tell us? So all of a sudden, it's very hot. And the pasuk tells us that, the pasuk says, Vayisa enav, Avraham Avinu lifts up his eyes. Vayaran, he sees, v'hinei shloisha anoshim nitzav malach. There are three people, anoshim, three men. Three men standing. Vayar, vayarot likrasam. He sees them and he runs. He runs. Right? You know, just picture this in your mind for a second. A 99-year-old man. That was old even then. Just had a medical procedure done 3 days earlier. Recuperating. He sees three Arabs. No name, no people, no titles. And he runs. Just to picture that in your mind. You know, how have I we run for things like that? But he ran. With such an excitement, despite his age, and despite the temperature, and despite his medical condition. That's a chavivus. That shows how much he loves it. That was the greatest sign the pasuk is telling us of how much Avraham Avinu loved what he was doing. Other people say that fakert, that Avraham Avinu had this energy of ayurus because Hashem visited him. And when Hashem came to visit him, Hashem healed him. Now he was healed. Now he was healthy again. Now he was a healthy 99-year-old man. Therefore, ayurus likrasam, he was able to run, and he was able to go greet them. But the Mefarshim point out that there's two vayars in this pasuk. It says vayisa enav, he lifted up his eyes vayar and he saw v'nei shloish anashim. Then it says again vayar and he saw. So the Mefarshim point out that the double vayar is that they're seeing and then they're seeing. What do I mean by that? Is that sometimes two people can look at a situation and they'll say to themselves, "I don't see anything here, nothing doing." And other times a person can look at the situation and say, "Wow, I see a disaster over here." Sometimes if you have to look a little deeper, you'll notice that you could be of help. Very often in life, we know of people, whether it be friends, family, or neighbors, that on the surface level, it doesn't look like they need our help. But if we were to look a little deeper, vayar means we'd look deeper, we'd really look into it, we'd realize that they could help us. They're not going to be asking for our help, but if we were to look deeper, we'd be able perhaps to see under the surface that there is some help that we can be of assistance. The classical story we all know with the Beis HaLevi, Reb Chaim, one of the two Soloveitchik rabbis, where a lady came to him and asked him, am I allowed to have, for the 4 cups of wine for Pesach, can I use Chamar Medina? Can I use another beverage besides for wine? So she said to the rabbi, I'm going to use milk. So the rabbi said, no, you can't use milk. Then the rabbi sent her, whether it be the Beis Aleve or Reb Chaim, and then he sent her, you know, food for Yom Tov. Why? Because most people look at the shayla, they pass from the shayla, and they move on. Reb Chaim or the Beis Aleve said to himself, 1 second, if she's going to use milk for the 4 cups, it means she doesn't have any food to eat at Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch is when you're supposed to have a meal. You can't have milk after the meal. If you have fleishiks, this means this woman is so poor, she's not going to have what to eat at Shulchan Aruch. So not only did he paskin the shayla, he saw what was beyond the shayla. He saw what was really going on. This lady was so poor. It wasn't just she was asking a halachic shayla. Very often, Rabbanim have to do this investigative work. When someone comes to you with a shayla, you got to figure out what they're really asking. They might not be so open about the problems that they're having, but you got to be able to investigate and see that deep down, there's so much more that meets the eye. And that's what's taking place over here. The second vayyar is that Rabbi Avinu understood there was a need. Very often in life, people, you know, need to be told, oh, you need to get involved. Sometimes if you just look deeper, you open, you broaden your horizon, you'll see that you could be of significant help for Klal Yisrael. So what happens? Vayomar, and he says. So the next word I'm not going to read, because there's a machoik is how to read the next word. What's the next word? Vayomar, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So Aleph Dalet Nun Yud can either be Hashem's name, which in that case we're not allowed to say it, or it cannot mean Hashem's name, and it's just referring to the word master. So what are the two pshatim? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that there's two pshatim how to read this pasuk. Hashem, either Avraham Avinu is telling the malachim, he's telling the servants, please come. I don't want you to leave. Or he's telling Hashem, please hold off. I have to go deal with these people. So the Rashi quotes two different pshatim. And the big nafkamin is, first of all, you're allowed to pronounce it. If it's Hashem's name, you can't say it. And the other nafkamin is that when a sefer writes a sefer Torah, and he writes Hashem's name, he has to have special kavanas when he writes Hashem's name. So you got to know if this word is one of Hashem's names. So you have to have the right kavanah. But the Mefarshim assume, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes like this also, that he thinks it's Pasha that it's Hashem's name, based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that G'doylo Hachnosas Orchim, it is so great, the Midah of Hachnosas Orchim, Yoyser Mikabolos Pnei Hashchinah. It's greater than actually talking to Hashem. Why? Because the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is that Hashem tells, Avraham Avinu tells Hashem, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I have to stop talking to you. I need to go now and talk to these three nameless people. Which is an unbelievable concept. Can you imagine? You're talking to Hashem, you put Hashem on call waiting to talk to three guys who are not exactly anything special or any significant chashivas. But the Gemara says you're supposed to do that. Why are you supposed to do that? Because the whole idea of Achnasas Orchem is what? He's supposed to show that people are important. He's supposed to show chashivas to human beings. Because everyone is Tzelem Elokim. Everyone comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we do the acts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're living like Hashem. So Hashem says, of course I don't want you to talk to me. I'd rather you be me. Be like me instead of talking to me. And therefore the Gemara says that we're supposed to be Mavatal, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to then go and do the mitzvah of Hachnosas Archim, which itself is an unbelievable idea. Yes.
You may have just said this and I wasn't paying full attention. So we learn out the halacha that you're supposed to be do Hachnasas Orchim, even more importantly than being the Kabbal Pnei Hashchinah, because we learned it from Avram.
Right.
But the famous kasha is, where did Avram know to do that?
Oh, so that's the kasha. Where did Avram Avinu know? Right, so that's the famous kasha.
Right, how did he know?
So the Mefarshim say in a lot of different
answers. Kasha, I never remember the famous Tzarek.
Right, so I think the answer is because Avraham Avinu understood that everything Hashem does, what Hashem wants of us is to be like Him. What Hashem wants of us is to live like Him, which means we're supposed to embody everything that He is. So Hashem wants us to be like Him instead of talking to Him. Hashem says, I want you to be a good person. Being a good person means going out there and talking to people instead of talking to me, Hashem. Because Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchinah is talking to Hashem, but Hashem demands of us to live a lifestyle. So that lifestyle that Hashem wants us to live means that when someone knocks on your door, you're supposed to speak to him. We know that the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of davening. You're only allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. Why? Because, meaning for covered or to answer someone, because Kriya Shema is Kabbalah's Malchus Shema, and that's like when you're talking to Hashem. So I always make the joke in Parshas Vayera, and it's a joke, please don't take it seriously. Why do people feel the urge to talk to their friends during davening? Because your friend comes over to you and he wants to talk to you. So you say to yourself, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that G'doy lachnosas orachim yoysim mekabalos p'nei Hashchina. So even though I'm in the middle of talking to Hashem, but how can I not say hello to my friend? He comes over to me and talks to me. I have to talk to him because it's more important than talking to Hashem. That's not Hachnasas Archem, obviously. But the concept is that we believe that Hashem wants us to live a lifestyle where we give credence and chashivas to people. Obviously, not during davening, but the point is that Hashem wants us to live a lifestyle similar to His, where we're there for people. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Bamtzia.
Maybe, Rabbi, that's what the second Vayar is for.
Ah.
Right? So he just practically, he saw them, so okay.
Very good.
But then, because Baruch was visiting him, and he enabled him to see beyond that.
Very good.
That it's so important that he should interrupt
I like it.
Baruch to go do it.
Fantastic, David. Fantastic. I think that's, Gevaldik Abshah. The second Vayar is where he realized how important this mitzvah is, and what's demanded upon him and how he should do it. Yeah, I like it. Fantastic.
But that's when he learned it.
Exactly.
He didn't know it from before.
He saw it live.
The lesson right then and there.
Very good, David. Yeah, I like it. 100%.
You can use it the next time.
Mitzvah Hashem. I'll use it maybe in my shul on Shabbos. Great. Kaval de Gavart. I like it a lot.
You don't have to attribute it. It's yours.
What do you mean? Maybe the Gemara says. If we could bring Mashiach by saying over a vart b'shem someone else, it's definitely something worthwhile. The Gemara says about Mitzvah that Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer outside the tent to try to find people on the street. And Eliezer comes back and tells Avraham Avinu, Avraham, there's no people on the street. It's boiling hot. So the Gemara says Avraham Avinu didn't trust Eliezer. He got up from his bed and he went out to the street to see people, to see if there's any people, and he kachavi, there was no people on the street. So why is this an important Gemara? Because we're going to learn later on in Sefer Bereishis that Avraham Avinu trusted all his money to Eliezer. He had no problem with anything financial to Eliezer. But when Avraham Avinu asked Eliezer, are there Archim? And Eliezer said, no, he didn't trust him. What do you see from Avraham Avinu? Not that he didn't trust Eliezer. That Avraham Avinu, when it came to things of spirituality, he took no chances. Money, I don't care about money. Fine, I'll give you my money. I trust you with my money. Invest what you want. Buy what you want. But you're telling me there's no potential mitzvah here? I don't know. I can't trust you. Maybe you don't see. Maybe you don't know. Avraham Avinu's life values were very different than many of us. Avraham Avinu valued things of mitzvahs and spirituality, not so much dollars and cents. Okay, we got to get moving over here. The pasuk tells what happens after that. So it says over here, he says, Yukachna matmaim. So he sends a messenger to bring a little bit of water. So why is Avraham Avinu going cheap on the water? So the Mefarshim will say, Bishvil Salanter, and others say, because when you ask someone else to do a favor for you, don't make it harder for them. Avraham Avinu asked the shliach to bring the water. You got to schlep the water. It wasn't like today we have indoor plumbing. Someone had to go out back to the well, lower down the bucket, and schlep the water. So I'm not going to be from on Yenim's Cheshbon. If I'm asking you to do me a favor, I'm not going to ask you to go beyond what's fear of me to ask you. If I'm doing it myself, I'll burden myself. It's a very important, Rabbi Sol Salanter talked about this. And very often people like have chumras, and they put their chumras on you. Now because of your chumra, I have to rearrange my life. No, I want to be machlum, that's my business. But if I'm asking you to do me a favor, it's not fear of me to ask that you should do more because I want to give a lot of water. Good, so if I'm schlepping the water, I'll take a lot of water. The Chedush Erim says, a gaval de kavart. Chedush Erim says, Rashi tells us why did he bring the water? He brought the water because he wanted them to wash the Avodah Zarah off their feet. Because the Arabs bowed down to the dirt, so he wanted them to wash their feet, get rid of the Avodah Zarah. So the Chedush Erim points out, he says, you see Avraham Avinu was choshed them that they were doing Avodah Zarah. So he says, you see, when you choshed someone, you have to do a little bit of work to get rid of the chashat. When it came to the meal, he served them a royal banquet. Why? Because Avad, you have to do a little bit to get rid of the chashat. You have to make sure that there's no Avodah Zarah in your house. But I'm not going to look down on them. I'm not going to say, well, because I heard they might be over the Vayda Zara, so now they're trafing, I'm going to throw them out of my house. He threw them a banquet. He gave them tongue and mustard and all these fancy things. Says the Chedush Erim, said the Ger Rebbe, that when you choshed someone, you have to do a little bit to disprove the chshad, but then you have to treat them like regular people. Right? Very often in life, we come across people that have rumors about them. People say they did this, and people say they did that. So you have to do a little bit to make sure, cover your bases, and after that, after you covered your bases, and you learned that they're not traf, so then you have to show them proper cover like anyone else. So the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Mebadisha points out, again, I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight, so I want to mention it now. Well, wow, it's really late. We know that in this week's parasha, there's another person who does a lot of chesed, and that's Loit. But when Loit does chesed, and when Avraham Avinu does chesed, they're very different. The three people who appear to Avraham Avinu are Anoshim. They appear to be simple men. The two people who appear to Loit appear to be Malachim. So the Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzchak Mebadishev says that was the difference between Loit and Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu did chesed for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Regular folk, regular anashim, regular people. No choshevit people, no royalty, regular folk. Loit, malachim. Loit did chesed because he saw them as malachim. It's a royalty. Ah, a choshevit person I'm willing to have in my house. Right? Very often people, you know, if you need to put someone up for Yom Tov or for a Shabbos, so if you tell them, listen, I have a big Rosh Hashiva coming to the neighborhood, would you put him up? Oh, Fata, I'll let him stay in my house. You know, I have a regular nobody coming for Shabbos. Do you want to put him in my house? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have room. Zakt, that was the difference. Lloyd said, yeah, give me all the Choshva people, I'll take them. Regular folk, not for me. They say a maaseh with Rav Palm's father. Rav Palm's father was a Rav, I believe, in Europe. And he used to be every Friday night, he used to work out with the Gabbai. Whoever was left in shul, they'd have to go, they'd come either to his house or the Gabbai's house for meals. So there were two people left at the end of a Friday night, and they both needed somewhere to eat. So one guy was looked like a chosh of a Talmud Chacham, dressed well, looked like a nice trimmed beard, and the other guy looked like a, not like that, looked like a Nebuch case. So they asked Rapam, which one do you want to take? So Rapam said, I want to take the Nebuch case. So they asked him why. He said, because if I was looking for a Chavrusa, I would take the guy who looks like a Talmud Chacham. But I'm looking to do a Chnosa Zorba. Chnosa Zorba is not supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be only cool people you take in. You take in everyone. You take in all types of people. So I'm going to take the less exciting guest to be like Avraham Avinu, as opposed to being like Lloyd, who only wanted to take the exciting, cool guests, you know, the Geshmaka people. But the regular folk, I'm not going to take them. So what happens? Okay, So what happens? So these three people come. He serves them bread. He, Pasuk says, he serves them something very controversial. What does he serve them? He serves them chama v'chalav. He serves them butter and milk. And then uben abakar asherasa. And then he gives them meat. So everyone talks about it's basa b'chalav. How is Avraham Avinu allowed to serve them halach and basa b'chalav? So the simple answer is he gave them milchiks first. Right? The halach is if you eat milchiks first, then you can have fleishiks pashtis right away afterwards. You don't really have to wait. So the desire kodesh that brings down, you're supposed to wait between chalav and basa. But me'ikar adin, if a person has, let's say, for example, he has milchiks and then 5 minutes later, he wants that fleishik, because that's not a problem. So that's Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. Pashup Shah was, he gave the chem of a chalav, and then he served the Ben Habakar. So there was like, you know, he had different courses. The first course was milchiks, and the second course was fleishiks. But there's a famous Malbum that I like to quote on this week's Parsha. The Malbum points out an interesting word in the Pasuk. It says, he gave them the chem of a chalav Ben Habakar asher asa, that he made. You don't make Ben Bakar. Ben Bakar is animals. You don't make animals. Hashem made animals. What does it mean, Asher Asa? So the Malbim writes, we know the Gemara says in Masechah Sanhedrin that the Amoraim used to be able to create animals through Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a book that was written either by Avraham Avinu or by Adam, where if you're able to be mitzarif certain words and letters using Hashem's names, you're able to make people and you're able to make animals. So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that the Amoraim used to make people and they used to make food. Instead of going grocery shopping on Friday afternoon, they would just make the chicken in the backyard with the Sefer Yetzirah. Now, in Yerudeya, Shulchan Aruch Paskes in Yerudeya, that you're allowed to make things through Sefer Yetzirah. It's not called Kishuf. It's called part of the way Hashem created the Bria. Hashem put into the Bria that you can make things with this book. So the Malbim says that the Ben HaBakar that Avraham Avinu served was made through Sefer Yetzirah. It wasn't regular, typical cow. He made it through Sefer Yetzirah, and therefore, says the Malbim, it's not subjected to the rules of Basa B'chalof. So that's why he was able to serve it together, because it wasn't made through regular, and that's why it's Asher Asa. He made it. It wasn't born from another animal. It was Asa. He made it himself. And since he made it himself, that's why it's not Basa B'chalof. So I always have a kasha on this vart, because the Ben Yehuda writes in Masechah Sanhedrin, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the certain Amoraim used to make, every single Erev Shabbos, they used to make this meat. They used to make their Shabbos meal with Sefer Yetzirah. And the Ben Yehuda writes that Sefer Yetzirah meat is not as good quality as real meat. It's not the same as actually taking a cow and shechting it. So I always thought it would be weird to say that Avraham Avinu would serve his guests second-class food. We know Avraham Avinu was an Oyev Chesed, he loved Chesed. I can't imagine that Avraham Avinu would not serve his guests the best quality out there. You know, first cut, second cut, whatever they are. So I always found this Malbim hard that Avraham Avinu would use Sefer Yetzirah instead of giving them, you know, good old fashioned cow, the real deal. But that's the famous part of the Malbim, that he used Sefer Yetzirah, and it's not subjected to the rules of Basa B'chalaf. But look at the end of the Pasuk. It says in the end of the Pasuk, V'huay made alihem tachas eitz ve'achilu. And he's standing over them under the tree while they eat. Why is he standing over them? You ever go to the restaurant and the waiters hover over you? They wait to see if you drink like a quarter of the water and they refill your cup. That always annoys me, that these guys hover over you. Like, let me eat. When I need you, I'll find you, right? And then when you need them, you can never find them. It's an amazing thing. When they're hovering over you and they're in your way, then all of a sudden they disappear and you're like, where's my water? Come on, where'd you guys go? Right? So, why is Aaron Avinu standing under the tree hovering over the angels? Let them eat. Give them a break. So the Chida writes that the halacha is that when two people, this we had also in our halacha shir last year, that when two people are eating together, one is eating basar and one is eating chalav. So halacha is you have to have some form of a heker on the table so one doesn't eat from the other. So it says in the pasuk that he served them milchiks and fleishiks. So he assumes that what that means was that some people, of the three malachim, some of them had milchiks, some of them had fleishiks. Right, he served pizza and he served steaks. So some had pizza, some had steaks. But in order to make sure that no one ate from each other's plate, so that's what Avraham Avinu was doing. Who I made Aliyim, he was standing there to be the watchman, to protecting to make sure that no one ate from the other one's food, so it shouldn't be a violation of Basa B'chalav. That's the Chidah's pshat on the pasuk, why he's standing there by the tree. What happens next? So now we figure out, what are these malachim doing here? They ask Avraham Avinu, where's your wife? Okay, perhaps an appropriate question, where's your wife? So his answer is, my wife is in the tent. So Rashi tells us, what was the purpose of this conversation? So Rashi said, they knew exactly where Sarah was. So why did they do this? They did this because they wanted to make Avraham Avinu feel good about himself. They wanted to make Avraham Avinu feel, you know, you're married to such a tzinuadika wife. She's such a wonderful wife. She's tucked away in the oil. She's not, out there in the world. She's, she's refined. She's private. She's in the oil. So Rav Pam asked the kasha, which many of you are probably thinking, Avraham Avinu was 99 years old. Sarah was 75 years old. They've been married, let's say, they're married, 70 years. Avraham Avinu, right? They're married a lot of years. You know, at some point in the relationship, the compliments don't really mean as much. I understand, Shana Rishayna, and you have Sheva Brachas, so you hear compliments about your wife, it feels very good. What about now? So Rav Pam says, no, we learn from this story that you should always feel good about hearing about your spouse. No matter how many years you're married, no matter how long you're together, it feels good to hear that your spouse is a good spouse. So therefore says Rashi that even though Avraham Avinu and Sarah were married for so long, when the Malachim came and told Avraham Avinu, you should know your wife is very tzinua, it made him feel very good. It's always good to hear compliments about your spouse, even if you're married for many years. That's the lesson they point out over here about the Shalom Bayis. Then what happens next? So the Pasuk says, this is where it gets really interesting. And the Malach says, Shuv o shuv elecha keis chayo, v'inivein l'sar v'shtecha. The Malach says, you should know, by the way, in a year from now, I'm going to come back, and you're going to have a baby. V'sara shaymas pesach oil v'achrov. And Sarah overheard the conversation. So the Mefarshim point out, if the Malachim came to tell Sarah she's going to have a baby, they didn't exactly tell it to Sarah, they really told it to Avraham Avinu. So the Mefarshim say, they spoke loud, with the anticipation and the hope that Avraham Avinu Sarah would hear it in the backdrop. So what happens? Avraham Avinu and Sarah are getting old. Sarah already stopped having her regular menstrual cycles. She already hit menopause, so it's usually not likely to have a baby. So what does Sarah say when she hears the news? Sarah cracks up. After my skin got all old, it's going to become soft again. My husband's old. She blames her husband for this, not her. So what happens? Hashem comes to Avram and says, very strange conversation. Sarah hears the Malachim tell her, you're going to have a baby, and her first response is, never going to happen. My husband's too old. And then Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Avraham Avinu, what's going on over here? Your wife is told she's going to have a baby, and her first response is, she says, I'm too old to have a baby. So, first of all, that's not what Sarah said. Sarah said, he's too old to have a baby. So we all know the famous Gemara. The Gemara says, we learn from here, that sometimes, b'shvil hashalom, you have to tell a lie. Sometimes you have to bend the truth because to make peace. So sometimes in life, you have to know when. The problem is people misuse this halach all the time. They think everything is b'shvil hashalom. But sometimes in life, you got to bend the truth a little bit, not to hurt people's feelings, not to insult people. Sometimes you have to be able to bend the truth. So Sarah, although Sarah said that the reason why she can't have a baby is because Avraham Avinu is too old, Hashem didn't say that to Avraham Avinu. Hashem said, Sarah said, because she's too old. But the Ramban is bothered with a gevaldige kasha. Frek the Ramban. Why didn't she believe the malachim? These are malachim. These are holy people. Why didn't she believe them? Ask the Ramban another question. Didn't Sarah know she was going to have a baby? Avraham Avinu knew in last week's parasha that she was going to have a baby. Why didn't Sarah know? Listen to this Ramban. It's probably one of the most gevaldik Rambans in Sefer Bereishis. Says the Ramban, in last week's parasha, when Avraham Avinu was told he was going to have a baby, he never told Sarah the news. Can you imagine? They were married for 75 years, childless. Avraham Avinu gets this unbelievable news, by the way, you're having a baby, and he never told Sarah the news. Sarah had no idea that she was having a baby. Avraham Avinu kept that secret to himself. So I told my wife this last night. I said, can you imagine if I pulled a shtick like that? Can you imagine if Hashem comes to me and says, you know, I have the, you're going to win the lottery next week. But I decided not to tell my wife about it. Forget the lottery. I'm going to be sleeping in the, I have to buy myself a different house. That would never work. How was it that Avraham Avinu didn't tell his wife the major news? So the Ramban gives two terutzim. Each one is unbelievable. His first terutz is that Avraham Avinu said to himself, if Hashem wanted Sarah to know, he would have told Sarah. Hashem told me, it's not my business to tell Sarah. Now again, obviously in the Shalom Bayis conversation, this gets a little sticky because we like to assume that we're supposed to share major information with our spouses. But Avraham Avinu said to himself, listen, Hashem knows how to talk to Sarah. If he doesn't want her to know, why should I go tell her? That's interesting. His second teretz is perhaps even more interesting. He says that Avraham Avinu had no time to tell Sarah. There was no time. Why was there no time? Because right after Hashem told Avraham Avinu you're going to have a baby, then Hashem said, go do Bris Milah. So Avraham Avinu was busy all day long doing Bris Milahs. And then he got tired. He goes, a chayla. There was never time, Pasha, there was no time to tell Sarah the news. That's the Ramban's second teretz. But be it as it may, the Ramban says Sarah had no idea. So now we understand much better, says the Ramban. Sarah's sitting in the tent. Three no-name people show up and tell her, you're going to have a baby next year. What do you think? Sarah's going to get all excited about it. You think these were the first three people who gave Sarah a bracha to have a baby? I have a couple in my shul that they used to live in Vegas. And they were married for many, many, many years without children. And they used to have many guests in their house. They were doing Kiruv. And one time, a guest came, and he suggested a certain doctor. And he, Baruch Hashem, they got with this doctor, and they were zayecha to have two children. So I can imagine every single guest who came to Avraham Avinu and said, where the kindalach? And they said, I'm sorry, we don't have children. I'm sure every guest gave them a bracha that they should have children. So says the Ramban, so this is typical for Sarah. She's going to eat, why should she be all excited? So Ramban writes, because you still... Someone gives you a bracha, you should, amen. It should be halavai, it should be true. Even though in her mind she basically gave up any chance of having a baby, but you should still be, amen, mitzvah Hashem. You know, there's always a question when you meet older singles, you know, at some point when you stop saying to them, mitzvah Hashem by you. You know, the person's already older, it doesn't like, you know, sometimes it could be hurtful, 100%. You shouldn't say it if it's hurtful. But people think, I can't give them bracha. Give a bracha, why does it hurt? Let them answer amen, give a person a bracha. So that's how the Ramban is pshat in the pasuk. Now, the problem is when Sarah gets called out. Oh, so the other kasha, which is, why is Hashem telling Avraham Avinu that Sarah laughed? Hashem is complaining to Avraham Avinu, why did your wife Sarah laugh? So what do we say in the married world? What do you want from me? Go to my wife. I didn't do anything wrong. What happened over here? Sarah laughed when she heard the news that she's having a baby. Hashem calls Avraham Avinu and says, Avraham Avinu, why did your wife Sarah laugh? What do you want from Avraham Avinu? She's a big girl. Go yell at her. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's pshat is that Avraham Avinu was getting in trouble for this. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was the Rebbe. You're responsible for educating the home. If Sarah laughed, it means there was a lack of emunah taught in the home. This was part of your job. Part of your job as a husband is to put into the home the values, the emunah b'Hashem, and you didn't do your job. So Hashem was getting Avraham Avinu for not doing his job. As a good job as Avraham Avinu, as the husband in the home, you should have set the standard of emunah being on the top highest value, and that's where Avraham Avinu gets in trouble. Now, what's the next pasuk? The next pasuk, all of a sudden, Sarah backpedals. No, I didn't laugh. Not true. Never happened. So there's a cheskuni. I don't know if you want to say this over at your Shabbos table, but the Cheskuni writes on the page that because of this week's pasuk, this is why women are not allowed to be witnesses in a Jewish court. The halach is, women are not allowed to be witnesses. Why? He says, because you see women, they backpedal when they're pushed up against the wall. They change their story. Right? Sarah said, no, I didn't laugh. What do you mean? We all read the pasuk together. So therefore, says the Cheskuni, because of this comment of Sarah, that she denied the original claim, that's why women are allowed to be witnesses. We see they flip their opinions very quickly. Okay. That's not the general pshat that we normally say over why women can't be witnesses. We say over from Rabbi Soloveitchik said this pshat, that the reason why women can't be witnesses is because the same reason why Sarah was Ine Behoyel. Because we believe that the greatest respect for a woman is that she's not front and center all over the place and everyone's looking at her, everyone's seeing her. She's tucked away. Like anything valuable, you tuck it away, you hide it. You don't want everyone touching it and looking at it and seeing it. It devalues it. And that's why she's Ine Behoyel. But the Kliyakar and other Mepharshim point out, what was Sarah's skepticism? Why was she so skeptical? So they say a beautiful idea. They say Sarah was skeptical that she said to herself, good, I'll have a baby. But I'm not going to get to enjoy him. I'm going to be too old. I'm not going to be able to run around with the baby. I'm not going to be able to go to the sitter place. I'm not going to be able to go to the, you know, father and son, daughter and mother, the events. I'm just going to be too old. I'm not going to be able to see the nachas. That's what Sarah was worried about. Sarah wasn't worried about the fact that she won't be able to physically have a baby. Hashem can make a baby happen, but she was afraid that she's going to just not be able to be there to see the nachas, which ultimately she didn't. Sarah never got to see grandchildren from Yitzchak. Sarah never walked Yitzchak down the aisle. She never got to see any of that. But Sarah was afraid that she won't be able to be a good parent, to be an evolved parent in a child's life, because she's just going to be too old. She's not going to have the koichas, the energy, to be able to do all that fatherly or motherly type of experiences. Okay, we're already holding almost at an hour. We didn't get to a lot of what I wanted to get to. There's so much more to talk about in the parasha. We'll just say one. I guess we'll leave off with this word over here from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky makes an observation which I never thought of on this week's parasha, and it's very profound. We know that when Avraham Avinu finds out that Hashem wants to destroy Sodom, so Avraham Avinu's first initial thing is, let's daven, let's save these people. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, let's stop for 1 second. Avraham Avinu lived for chesed. Sodom was the antithesis of chesed. They hated chesed. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, generally speaking, when you're very into something, and people are not into what you're into, you're not going to like them. Right? Everyone knows, whatever you're into, whatever hakbada, minug, halacha, you're very zahir, you're very careful about, you come across people that are not into it, automatically you get turned off by them. You're like, oh, come on, this is so sacred to me, and you're not taking it sacred. Says Rabbi Yaakov, can you imagine Avraham Avinu? He is living chesed. He's told that there's a community that is anti-chesed. What's his initial thought? Let me try to save them. What would our initial thought be, says Rabbi Yaakov? They deserve it. They don't do chesed, they're bad people. They're not like me, they're bad people. Says Rabbi Yaakov, look at the godless of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu looked at the people that he stood in the exact opposite of everything they were. Him and Sodom were the antithesis of each other. And the moment he hears they're in trouble, his first initial feeling is, let me go daven for them, let me go help them, let me see what I can do for them. It's an amazing insight to this week's parasha. But, okay, maybe we'll steal a few more minutes that I just want to talk a little bit about the Akedah. We didn't get to it, the Akedah. What an amazing story that we still piggyback off Ayim Ezeh. Rosh Hashanah, we're always borrowing schusim against the Akedah. The Akedah, everything's about the Akedah. So the Chassam Sofer points out that who was the bigger of the two people involved in the Akedah? Avraham or Yitzchak? Avraham Avinu was told to take his only son and slaughter him. Yitzchak was 37 years old. He was no baby. He walked willfully to his ultimate death, what he thought would be his death. So who was greater? So the Chassam Sofer says, Avraham Avinu, it's called Akedas Yitzchak. You know why? Because it was much more difficult for Yitzchak. Why? Because Yitzchak wasn't told directly from Hashem to do it. Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem, go kill him. Fine, no big deal. Hashem said to him. Yitzchak was Teresh Abal Peh. Yitzchak was trusting what Hashem, what his father told him. That's already tradition. That's Teresh Abal Peh. So therefore says the Chassam Sofer, Yitzchak's Akedah was perhaps greater. Because he didn't have a direct tzivui from Hashem. He was trusting, I have a tradition from my father. That's what Hashem said. That takes much more faith. That's a much larger leap of faith. Therefore explains the Chassam Sofer, Yitzchak's Akedah perhaps was larger. We'll leave off one last word, because then it's getting late, from Nissen Alpert. Nissen Alpert also asks the Kasha, who was the Akedah Nisayin for? So we all know it was Nisayin for Avraham Avinu. Frekt of Nissen Alpert, why? It was really Nisayin for Yitzchak. Yitzchak was 37. He could have said, Dad, I'm not going. You're crazy. You're not taking me. Said in this in Alpert, because when your child is put into a test, it's really testing you. What type of parent were you? Similar to what we saw from Reb Chaim with Avraham Avinu and Sarah. When your children are presented with dilemmas, moral dilemmas, so of course they're being tested. But ultimately, says in this in Alpert, it's really a test on your parenting. How did you raise them? Did you instill in them the values that they can make this decision? Did you instill in your children the ability to do the right thing amidst a difficult situation? So therefore, of course, it was Yitzchak's Nisayon, of course, but says in Nissen Alpert, but it was a reflection of Avraham Avinu. Whether or not Yitzchak was raised, again, obviously not always are children raised exactly the way we want them because they have free will, but very often if our child is a product of our environment and we want to say that we did a good job, how will we know that? When our children are put to the test. When they're put to a test and they overcome the test, it was really a test for us. What type of parenting we did, what type of home we built, and how did we instill in them the ability to be miskaber on the difficulties of life. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see everyone in Mitzvah Shem live on Mitzvah Shem Sunday morning. Have a great Shabbos and all the best.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.